You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 6th of September, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to revisit a news story that we covered a couple of years back at Radio Albion. You'll find in the sidebar that we have three Daily Nationalists dealing with a vicar that was accused of being a terrorist. He was actually reported to prevent for a school assembly that he gave, a sermon that he gave, where he was teaching the children to be tolerant of different points of view. And he actually lost his job for doing this. And he's been out of the news since then, but he's now back in the news because the church is doing the same to him. A school chaplain claims he was betrayed by the Church of England after it branded him a safeguarding risk to children for giving a sermon on identity politics. And we went into the entire sermon in the podcast that we did on it, so I'm not going to repeat that. I'll just read a section of it out, which pretty much sums up what he was saying in the sermon. He was talking about Brexit, he was talking about LGBT, and he was talking about Islam. And he was saying that the children all have to be tolerant of different points of view. And this is a direct quote from his assembly. He says, "Now, when ideologies compete, we should not descend into abuse. We should respect the beliefs of others, even where we disagree. Above all, we need to treat each other with respect, not personal attacks. That is what loving your neighbour as yourself means. By all means, discuss, have a reasoned debate about beliefs. But while it is okay to try and persuade each other, no one should be told that they must accept an ideology. Love the person, even where you profoundly dislike the ideas. Do not denigrate a person simply for having opinions and beliefs which you do not share." And that sums up the whole of it, basically. He was saying that you do not have to accept these ideologies. And he was reported to prevent for that, because it seems you do have to accept these ideologies. And that's not what the church's teaching has always been. I mean, who could complain about saying we have to respect other people's beliefs? But apparently these complaints were made, and now the church itself is getting involved. The Reverend Dr. Bernard Randall, 49, won widespread public support last year when it was revealed that he was sacked by a fee-paying school and reported to terrorism watchdogs for defending pupils' rights to question the introduction of new LGBT policies. So that was the ideology that the children were not agreeing with. And they were saying, well, do we have to accept this, that this is all correct? And he said, well, no, you don't have to accept that it is all correct. It goes against biblical teaching, but you have to accept the people themselves. And that's the way things should be. We should be tolerant of other people's points of view. We should be tolerant of other people with different points of view. But the way that society is today, we're being taught to be as intolerant as possible and to just silence people that have a different point of view. We're told we should expect never to hear a point of view that's different to our own. And if we do, then that's hate speech, and that should be removed from the platform. Dr. Randall said that he expected support from his diocese, run by the Bishop of Derby, the Right Reverend Libby Lane, especially as his sermon accurately presented the Church of England's teachings. And that's the important thing here. All he was doing was presenting the teachings that he had been taught as a reverend. And I'm a little surprised that he was expecting to find support from the Right Reverend Libby Lane, because that's a female bishop. And it says in the Bible that women should not be allowed to teach. It certainly says that they shouldn't be bishops. It explicitly talks about not allowing priestesses, which is essentially what a bishop is. So the Right Reverend Libby Lane thinks she knows better than the Bible anyway, and the church does as well, the modern church, that is, and they've ordained this Libby Lane. And if she thinks she knows better than the Bible, then quite clearly she is thinking that man's laws, human rights and all the rest of it, that is more important. So she is clearly not going to support this Dr. Randall, I wouldn't have thought. I'm very, very surprised that he thought she was going to support him when she's already shown that she thinks she knows better than the Church of England's original teachings, which were based on the Bible rather than based on modern society. To his profound dismay, he reveals today that the diocese launched its own investigation, conducting a risk assessment, which concluded that he posed a moderate risk and might cause children anxiety if they came to him with a sexuality or relationship issue. And I guess what they mean by that is he might say, well, homosexuality in the Bible is classed as a sin, and people are supposed to repent of sin and avoid sinning, basically. And we do have laws today. Homosexuality is legal, and nobody's talking about persecuting homosexuals. They're just saying what the Bible states. It states that it is a sin, and if you're a Christian, you're supposed to repent of sin and try to avoid it. And that has always been the church's teaching. They've always had compassion for people. They've always had compassion for sinners. That's what the church is. So I guess the anxiety here would come in if he just actually quoted the Bible to them. I mean, we're getting to a stage now where the Bible itself is being considered to be hate speech. So they investigated him instead of supporting him. I mean, he went to the church expecting them to support him because he was only giving out the church teachings, and instead of that, they launched their own investigation. Dr. Randall, an Oxford graduate whose life and career are now in ruins, says that the assessment left him devastated. When you get ordained, you put your heart and soul into the church. It is woven into your DNA, and then someone reaches inside you, into your soul, and rips out your DNA. And this is the point. He's obviously a very committed Christian. He obviously takes his beliefs extremely seriously, and all he was doing was bringing those teachings and those beliefs, the same beliefs that have been preached for 2,000 years now, and all he was doing was doing his job. But his beliefs, his Christian beliefs that are based on the church's teachings, are now apparently at odds with the modern church. He says, while this has never made me think I'm not going to be a Christian, it has made me question the state of the church and seriously doubt my place in it. Due to loyalty, I haven't spoken out until now about the church's role. I held back because I thought the diocese might see sense, but it hasn't. And I think a lot of people are questioning the state of the church, particularly the Church of England. Started off with these female bishops, and now they have female vicars. They have transgender confirmations, transgender celebrations, and they have homosexual priests and homosexual bishops, and they're talking about allowing homosexual weddings. I think they don't allow them just yet. There was a clause put into the law to show that they didn't have to have homosexual weddings in a church, but I think they are pushing for that. And it could always be taken to court, and of course people could then cry discrimination, the church is discriminating against us, it won't allow a gay wedding, which is really contradictory, because apparently we can't say, well, Twitter is discriminating against us, it's discriminating against us because of our political and philosophical views, and it's banned us from the website. Nobody complains about that, but you do get complaints about the church not allowing gay weddings. And of course we know about bakeries that don't wish to have gay cakes promoting homosexualism on their cakes, and they get compelled to do so because otherwise they're discriminating against the homosexuals. This week, Dr. Randall, a former chaplain of Christ's College, Cambridge, will argue at an employment tribunal that Trent College near Nottingham unfairly sacked him because of his religious and philosophical beliefs. I mean, that's why he was employed, was because of his religious and philosophical beliefs and his ability to teach those beliefs. We're not talking somebody here who has only educated himself. We're talking about somebody who's actually been through the church seminaries or whatever it is that they're called when you train to become a vicar. And he was only teaching what the official church teaching is. The official church teaching is now at odds with what the church itself is promoting. He is also taking legal action against the bishop. Court documents claim that he was subjected to less favourable treatment on the grounds of his beliefs. He would not have been treated in this way if he had been approving of same-sex marriage and transgender beliefs, both of which go against church teaching. This is the thing. It's not like he's promoting something which is the opposite of what the church claims to be representative of. He was supporting that. It's rather like Dr. E. Michael Jones, who was sacked from Notre Dame College in America, which is, I believe, a big Catholic college. And he was sacked from there for being against abortion. And the church is supposed to be against abortion. We have this subversion that has crept its way all the way through our religious institutions. And now, of course, nationalists will say, well, the church is terrible because it promotes all this sort of stuff and it promotes multiculturalism and immigration. The fact of the matter is, the church is just as subverted as every other institution of the state. The government is subverted, the media is subverted, and of course the church is subverted. And we've known this for a long time, but now people like this vicar, traditional vicars, I mean, I'm not even sure he's that much of a traditionalist. It's just the normal church teaching that he was teaching, tolerance, telling people that they need to be tolerant of other people's points of view. But because he himself doesn't approve of same-sex marriage and doesn't approve of transgender beliefs, he thinks that that's the reason why they have said that he's a safeguarding risk. His sermon outlined the Anglican Church's view of marriage as being between a man and a woman, and was delivered after students questioned the school's new policy on sexual orientation diversity. So the church's official view is that marriage can only be between a man and a woman. But if a priest of the church teaches that in a school, they're going to get reported to prevent, and the church is going to investigate them and say they are a safeguarding risk. Campaigners called Dr. Randall's dismissal scandalous and said that schools should teach children how to think and not what to think. And that's the opposite way around to how everything is today. Children are completely indoctrinated at school. They're told to basically just repeat back what's being said to them. They're not taught to think for themselves and to come to their own viewpoint. They have to just repeat the mainstream narrative, don't they? They just have to say diversity is a strength, wave the LGBT pride flag without thinking about what it represents. If you disagree with any of that, then you're going to get reported for being a suspected possible terrorist, such as this vicar was. At one stage during the investigation by diocesan officials into Dr. Randall, they discussed the possibility that staff at Derby Cathedral, where he occasionally conducted services, might give evidence on his behalf. So that's very nice, isn't it? The staff there, they wanted to support him. They said, we support this priest and we would like to give a character reference for him. But one email included the vaguely sinister sentence, it was agreed that involvement of cathedral staff in the tribunal was a matter for them, but may have implications for their association to the cathedral. So they're effectively saying that if anybody supported him, they would be tarred with the same brush. They would also be looked upon as being a safeguarding risk to students and somebody that should be possibly reported to prevent. Earlier, after deciding that Dr. Randall's sermon was harmful to LGBT students, the school flagged him to prevent a government program which normally identifies those at risk of radicalization. So they're saying it's harmful to LGBT students to actually hear the church's teaching on LGBT. It's harmful for them to hear that some people don't actually agree with homosexual activities or the homosexual lifestyle. Not saying that they don't agree with homosexuals or they want to persecute homosexuals in any way. They just point out that the lifestyle itself goes against church teaching. I mean, how is that harmful to people to hear that there is somebody that disagrees with them, that might disagree with what they do? Why don't they sit down and have a debate about it and talk about these things? Talk about why it is that the church might be against the LGBT lifestyle, and talk about why the church might not support gay marriage. I mean, the reason for that is because marriage is outlined in the Bible as being between a man and a woman, and the ultimate purpose of it is to produce children. And there is no ultimate purpose to homosexual marriage. It reduces the sex act just down to pleasure rather than also being about procreation. It removes the fundamental purpose of the consummation of the marriage, the marriage act. It's the same throughout nature. The same act reproduces, it causes a reproduction of your own kind. Homosexual relationships can't do that. So that's clearly why the church's teaching does not allow for gay marriage. And what is wrong with saying that? How is saying that harmful to somebody? It's harmful for them to hear that. It's harmful to hear that there is actually a different point of view. Shouldn't we be having a debate? Shouldn't we be encouraging debate? Of course, we always encourage people to be polite and not abusive, which is exactly what this vicar was saying in his sermon. Police investigated. I didn't even got the police in on this, but said he posed no counter-terrorism risk or any risk of radicalisation. Disturbingly, Dr. Randall claimed the school later told him that any future sermons would be censored in advance. He also claimed that he was warned his chapel services would be monitored to ensure requirements are met. I mean, that's hardly a conducive working situation, is it? And who was it that would be censoring his sermons? Did they have a bishop there? Did they have someone who was above Dr. Randall's position? I mean, it all sounds very much like something you would see in a communist state, isn't it? Censoring what people say in advance, what they're going to teach the children in assembly. Trent College has a Christian ethos. And does it? Does it have a Christian ethos if it reports somebody to prevent for preaching traditional Christian teaching? And Dr. Randall was appointed in 2015 to provide pastoral care, share the Christian faith, and lead services in the school chapel. So that was his job description. Share the Christian faith. Share the same faith that has been taught for the last 2,000 years. And he was being expected not to do that, but to promote modern society's views on what are good on lifestyles, basically. I mean, that's what this comes down to. Church condemnation of a certain lifestyle and modern society's support for it and flaunting of it. He says he was increasingly sidelined as the school began implementing LGBT policies from an organisation called Educate and Celebrate, which demands that schools adopt a gender-neutral uniform policy and believes children should not refer to each other as boys and girls to avoid offending transgender pupils. And of course, again, that goes right back to the start of the Bible. When man is created, male and female created he them. It doesn't say there are any other genders. It just says that there are male and female. So if you're then going to say, well, you have to include all these other genders, then again, that goes against biblical teaching. And it's supposed to be a Christian school. I don't know about this Educate and Celebrate. They probably wanted to promote this idea that people could be intergender, transgender, all of the sort of ideas that they come out with. When, according to Suella Braverman, this idea of socially transitioning, there's no backing up for it in law, because you cannot actually change your gender on a birth certificate until you're 18. So if this group here was telling the teachers that they should be referring to people by their chosen pronouns and gender affirming anybody that claims to be transgender, then the school shouldn't be doing that to their students. They shouldn't be doing that. They should be referring to them as what is on their birth certificate. And that comes from the Attorney General. Yet the school here is being taught to have a gender neutral uniform policy and to not use the terms boys and girls. In his sermon, Dr. Randall emphasised that the children were not compelled to accept an ideology that they disagree with, and he was then disciplined and sacked. So what they're effectively saying is, you do have to accept ideologies that you disagree with. Everybody has to show their approval for the LGBT agenda. Everybody has to celebrate it. You're forced to, which goes completely against church teaching. We are supposed to have free will. We are supposed to be able to choose what we think is good and reject what we think is evil. And what they're saying here is, no, you can't do that any longer. You have to accept what we tell you to accept. And if you don't believe there are more than two genders, then you're going to be disciplined for that. It really is like something out of 1984, where the protagonist in the book is being forced to say that 2 + 2 = 5, and black is white. Dr. Randall alerted the diocese, but to his disappointment received only a lukewarm response. He hoped that Bishop Lane, the Church of England's first female bishop, would intervene and at least back me on the theological elements. But he claims she kept a distance. Either she disagrees with the church's teaching, or it's just moral cowardice, neither of which are attractive qualities. And I guess it could be both. She didn't want to rock the boat, but then she's just been put in place as the first female bishop. She is obviously going to have some weight behind what she says. And quite clearly, I think she disagrees with the church's teaching, because she's already accepted overriding one of the most central planks of church teaching for hundreds of years, which is that there shouldn't be women priests. So I am surprised that he thought she was going to help. However, documents show that there were concerns about the reputational risk to the church. So they thought the church's reputation could be damaged by somebody actually preaching what the church is supposed to teach. A church safeguarding officer summoned Dr. Randall to a meeting in December 2019, and she later wrote, he has consistently demonstrated his inability and unwillingness to accept a different viewpoint. And this is so Orwellian, isn't it? I mean, the whole central point of the talk that he gave in the assembly was to accept people having different viewpoints. And yet what she has put down is that he is unwilling to accept a different viewpoint. It's not he's unwilling to accept different viewpoints. It's that he is unwilling to change his own viewpoint. He's quite happy to accept other people's viewpoints, but he's not going to change his viewpoint to one that he disagrees with, that he fundamentally disagrees with, based on church teaching, the very church that he is supposed to be a representative of. Despite his opinion being supported by scripture and elements of canon law, it is his apparent opposition to consider or accept a different approach to relationships which is of concern in a 21st century church of England. And that's the important point. They're saying it's 2022, it's current year, and that takes precedence. Just forget about canon law, just forget about scripture, just do what we've decided to do in 2022. And it's just incredible that he brought up scripture and canon law, and they say that that's not good enough. I mean, and that's what he's supposed to be teaching, is scripture and canon law. They say this is a reputational risk to be managed by any parish and diocese to which Reverend Randall is connected. So they're very worried that the actually teaching what the church claims to stand for is a reputational risk to the church in 2022. Elsewhere, she adds, specifically risk was considered for if or when Reverend Randall might be approached as a person holding a position of trust within the diocese. If presented with a request for support by a vulnerable adult or young person struggling with a sexuality or relationship issue, the response by Reverend Randall may result in further anxiety for the individual involved, due to the manner in which he communicates his strong Christian beliefs regarding sexuality and related issues, including the use of canon law and scripture, to reinforce his opinion. Well, if this is a vulnerable young adult, say, and they're a Christian, do they not want to know what the Christian law is? Do they not want to know what the scriptures say, if they're a vulnerable adult, I guess what they mean by vulnerable is an adult that believes they might be homosexual and they go to see a priest, surely they should be taught what the Christian teaching is on that. They shouldn't just be told, oh, everything is okay, yes, carry on with your homosexuality. And then they discover later on, after they've got involved in homosexuality, that actually Christian teachings are pretty strong on that point. And then they're going to regret whatever it is that they've done. They may have a terrible fear of hellfire and damnation because of what they've done, which they had no idea about, because the Christian preacher decided to just ignore that and pretend that it didn't exist and it wasn't a part of the Bible. I mean, what they're saying here is, if the truth may result in anxiety, then the truth should not be spoken. And the truth hurts, doesn't it? That's what the common phrase is, isn't it? The truth hurts. And what they're saying is, any truth that does actually hurt shouldn't actually be vocalized, because it might cause anxiety. And that goes for all these issues that we talk about as nationalists. All these issues that we're told can in some cases be hate speech. They are uncomfortable truths, aren't they? Because society has pretended that they don't actually exist and gone in a direction which is opposed to the truth. Astonishingly, the officer then goes on to suggest that the church itself may be a safeguarding risk, writing, due to some church scripture supporting Reverend Randall's views, the church itself may also be a risk factor to be used to justify Reverend Randall's opinions. So they're condemning themselves there. They're saying that their own scriptures and their own teachings are a risk factor. So what are they saying? That the church itself should be banned? Dr. Randall insists his sermon and his views simply reflect Church of England thinking, and was able to demonstrate flaws in the assessment process, chiefly that it should have been independent. So it was the church investigating itself here as well. This has now been accepted by the diocese, but the terms of reference for a new process have yet to be agreed. This would not have happened 10 years ago even, Dr. Randall says. Safeguarding has crept from making sure that we don't employ people who present a genuine danger to something much broader. We now live in an age where any kind of inconvenience to someone is not to be tolerated, and everybody must be happy all the time. Institutions are now so terrified that someone will say something even moderately challenging. And that's the point here, isn't it? Safeguarding is to prevent people from being molested or abused, and they're now using this as an excuse to shield children or students from hearing any different opinion, any other point of view different to the one that is being promoted by modern society. He says, this has caused me untold stress, to the point where I recently burst into tears when a priest asked me after a service how I was feeling. Andrea Williams, co-founder of Christian Concern and chief executive of the Christian Legal Centre, said, the Church of England's wholesale misuse of safeguarding to suggest that Bernard is a risk to children is one of the most distasteful and objectionable elements of this extraordinary case. And they're always putting him in the same category as a paedophile here, aren't they, by saying that he's a safeguarding risk to children. Because he doesn't think that, because he says the church doesn't actually support gay marriage. They continue, I would love to have seen the Church of England defend Bernard Randall after his moderate and thoughtful sermon upholding the church's teaching. I would love to have seen them say he was a faithful minister doing the job he loved and serving the children at Trent College. If they had done that and helped him to keep his position, we would not be where we are today. Instead, the Church of England capitulated to the pressure and wiped their hands of him. So there must have been some left-wing activism involved here as well. There must have been some condemnation of what he had said. That's why they capitulated to this pressure, when the church really should have supported him and said, well, yes, this is the church teaching, this is the canon law, and yes, we do preach tolerance for other people's points of view, but you don't have to go along with a point of view that is opposed to your religious teaching. Out of loyalty to the church, he has refused to expose how badly he has been treated by them until now. He has hoped against hope that they might come and help him. Bernard Randall is a good man who loves Jesus and loves biblical truth, and is passionate about the hope that is found in the gospel for school communities. He is kind, intelligent, and not a safeguarding risk to anyone. It is the rise of LGBT ideology and activism within the Church of England that is the risk to good and faithful clergy such as Bernard, and to children who are badly failed by its misleading guidance on transgenderism in schools. And that's the thing, they're teaching children that the Bible and Christianity says the opposite of what it actually does say, which, as I say, I mean, it could cause much anxiety later on when they discover what the Bible does actually say, if they've actually indulged in some of these things that have been promoted by the LGBT community. They continue, it is untenable for the Church of England to allow its safeguarding teams to say that the Church of England and the Bible is a risk factor to itself. So eventually they might just end up censoring parts of the Bible, pulling parts out of the Bible, claiming that they know better than the Holy Spirit, that they are a better editor of the Bible than God is. I mean, talk about arrogance here, to claim that we know better than hundreds of years of tradition and the religious teachings that the church have made, to go directly against them and say that we know better today. It's effectively saying that we know better than God, and God that doesn't matter anymore. I mean, really, it's just encouraging people to not have anything to do with the Church of England. I think it is hemorrhaging parishioners. Every year there's less and less people that are joining the Church of England because it's turned its back on all its traditional teachings like this. This is a profoundly upsetting and perverse situation, and we continue to stand with Bernard as he prepares for the hearing against his sacking by Trent College this week. The outcome will have huge ramifications for Christian freedoms and freedom of speech in this country. So we'll have to keep an eye out for what happens with that, whether somebody can be sacked for effectively doing their job, which is to preach Church of England teachings to students. And if you actually do preach the teachings, then apparently you're a safeguarding risk. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one. The Diocese of Derby said in a statement, Mr. Randall has never been an employee of the diocese, and the licence he held was as a result of his employment by Trent College. The Bishop of Derby is saddened that Mr. Randall is bringing these grievances and has tried to ensure pastoral care for him. Yes, but they certainly didn't want to support him. Given that he has started legal processes against the diocese and the Bishop of Derby, it would be inappropriate to comment further. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. And if people are interested to learn more about this vicar, as I say, they can find it in the sidebar of the Radio Albion website under the heading The Church Censored. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.